Hi, I'm Christian Buckley. I'm the Managing Director Americas for GT Consult.
And I'm John Westworth, a Customer Success Manager for Microsoft.
And we're here to talk about Module 5, Understanding Roles, our session on Yammer Administration and Power User Best Practices. And so what we're going to talk about, this is an important topic because a lot of people have questions about, what are the differences between the various admin types? What are the different roles? It's a bit simpler than most other platforms, and working in the SharePoint space, for example, much less complex than the hierarchy within your SharePoint environment. But we're going to talk about the differences between roles. We're going to talk about automating provisioning and profile updates. Just at a high level, again, this is a 200-level session. Tell you about where you can go and get more information around that. And then just talk about the removal of users from the system. In the previous module, we covered a little bit about where you go and do some of the user management. And so it's in that place, but this is more of a, alongside with the roles, is to know what happens as you remove users. All right, so let's just start at the top. Put it in one table, try to keep it simple here, but the user role. This is pretty straightforward. I mean, creating messages, uploading files, you maintain your profile, all the standard user activities that you'd expect. Again, fairly intuitive about what you can do within the environment. This is somebody who's been added in, you're part in your company network or within an external network, doesn't matter, but all you're doing is using the platform. You have the ability to invite other users if it's given you by your admins. You have the ability to go and create external networks if you've been given the ability, and if that's been enabled by the admin. So pretty straightforward there. So group admins. Group admins are really where it's, John, I mean, your experience, I mean, groups are where most people are getting work done inside of Yammer.
Absolutely, and this is where that community management piece comes in again, really. So as well as doing kind of day-to-day administration, you really want these people driving adoption of that group, pulling people into the conversations and posting content in there to kind of get that group going initially.
So what would you say, as you work with customers, what is your recommendation? Like where does start using Yammer properly and creating groups? What does a group admin need to know? What do they own?
So a group administration, they own who can be in there, who can actually see that group initially as well. But it's a content curation. It's as much a part of that as it is the administration of adding users in there and bringing people into the conversation.
Making sure that it's the right people having the conversation, or more importantly, is if the wrong people are, if the people that need to be part of the conversation are not in the conversation, getting
them
to...
They are taking them out as well, yeah.
Right.
And pulling the right people in, as you
right.
said.
Yeah, I think we're going to show in the next module some of the tips and tricks of a power user of how to go and include those people.
Yeah.
But that is a key part of the role. So, I mean, as far as creating the groups, setting the name, giving it an icon, some kind of branding around that, but managing the membership of the group is critical to that.
And another piece there you might want to educate your people within the organization on as well is before they go and create a group, just make sure that group doesn't already exist.
That's an important thing, is to go through on a regular basis and look through. You as a user want to do that anyway. If the network is very active, there's a lot of groups being created, that if there are groups that are relevant to what you are working on, that you are on a regular cadence going in, looking at what's new, what's been created, and joining those groups. But likewise, consolidating those.
Yes.
And that's something, as a group admin, you may even say, like, look, I've started this group, didn't realize that there was another one that was very similar, and we need to probably consolidate these things. Let's push these important conversations, share them over into that other group, and then go in and remove the group from the system.
Yeah, and using a topic may be a better way of actually differentiation for conversations within a group than just creating lots of different groups with a very small membership.
So I think it's also important that a group admin has the ability to edit conversations within that group. They don't have that ability. So as a user, you can go in there and delete a comment of your own. But as a group member, if I'm doing that, like if I do that comment in the home network, right across the top of all of those things, I can delete that, or the network admin can delete that, the verified admin, but the group admin cannot, because they're just another user who happens to own another group. But once you make that comment inside of that group, then they have some degree of control over that. All right, so that hopefully is pretty self-explanatory. User, group admin, that's where a lot of the community development starts happening. The next level is the network admin. So they have all the same capabilities as the user and the group admin, except they're actually going through, as we showed in previous module, of creating that external network and then setting some of the design and policy decisions around that external network.
Yeah.
And so as a CSM, I mean, part of how do you advise customers on the proper usage of external networks?
So we try and kind of advise customers really to only really create a network if they really think they're going to get a momentum of users in there. Because we see lots of organizations, they'll create a network in there, but nobody's really managing that network, nobody's really pulling people in there, and they die on the vine pretty quickly, really. You want that kind of same collaboration going on in that network as you do in your home network as well.
Well, I would argue that an external network is a good opportunity to go and do even short-term collaborative efforts. So this goes back to statements I've made previously about, like, it is a fantastic extranet solution. So I've gone out and I've created an external network for a specific partnership or an initiative. For example, I created an external network around the SharePoint conference last year, around a number of partners and experts, influencers out in the community, around content and activities leading up into the event. And so after the event was closed, we left it up there for a while, pulled all the core documentation down from it that was created, and we then just deleted the network.
Yeah.
So it served a purpose, and it was a great place to go to centralize the activities very quickly.
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there when you said it serves a purpose, because if there is no purpose of a network, then you're not going to see that kind of level of engagement there. When you do have a purpose, you're going to have people going back there repeatedly.
So you think about the network admin capabilities, looking back at the list, you have the ability to invite anyone, so even external guests. So that's what's important about external networks. So it's no longer just people that are on your domain that have share the same company email, but you can now send that email invite out to anybody. That's all it is, that security level, and that's something to be aware of. Security is just an email away. But you can see all of the groups, you can delete any message within that network, you can post announcements, which are these broadcast messages across the top, as well as grant and revoke other network admins. So I can create this external network, and John, I can give you the ability to go and be a network. We can run this together, and at some point I could yank that back away from you.
Absolutely.
Right. Good, I might think about doing that later, revoke and block access. So the final one is around the verified admin. So if you look at this, so it's again, same as the network admin, but this is, your verified admins are first and foremost, the people who are the global Office 365 admins, who have that capability at the Office 365 level. And then are designated or given that right. And these are people that are I think in SharePoint terminology, it's the farm admin.
Yeah.
It's somebody who has access across the board. If you're a user or you're a group admin, I mean, you do not have the ability to see conversations happening outside of your own group, much less into private conversations. Even a network admin can see the conversations in all of the groups, but can't see the private messages. So when you think of the instant messaging capability, the verified admin can see everything that's happening on the network. And there's a reason for that. So from a security and compliance standpoint, they need to be aware that discouraging the wrong behaviors, encouraging the right behaviors within the platform.
Yes.
And so they could do things like keyword monitoring, setting the data retention policies, exporting data. We talked about in the previous module about the limited analytics that are available out of the box through the app options. However, you can export data as often as you want, all the attachments, just everything across the board, export that, dump that into Power BI, and do some really cool reporting and look at trending on usage patterns within the environment.
Yeah, in fact, a couple of my colleagues have actually posted some of that information out into the Office 365 network now, and they've done some great work around Power BI and being able to analyze, you know, which groups are being used, who are the most active members.
You can name those people. Trends. I mean, sure.
It's Paul and Steve. Hello.
But yeah, that would be a great link to share out there and provide some additional details. So think about this, your Yammer users. You always belong to that home group. You may or may not be a member of an external group network. You may or may not be a member of the groups on that site. And admins can invite people to the network. Just very quickly, this is very high level. I know that there's a lot of questions that people have around the experience about setting up AD sync and a single sign-on so that you can really streamline and improve the user experience. Obviously, having the directory sync has that ability to automate the provisioning. So as people are added into Active Directory, that it's syncing with the Yammer profile, so it automatically gives them permissions, and you can run that on a daily or weekly basis, whatever your cadence is from that. The single sign-on is another aspect of that's important to make sure that my login credentials, I'm not having to constantly log in twice. Where that becomes really important, especially, is if you are embedding Yammer within your SharePoint environments and elsewhere, is not having that annoying login again to get to that stream. It just automatically does that for you. And so just very high level here, what that process is to deploy Yammer directory sync. The directory sync, you install it, connect it to Yammer, connect it to your Active Directory, you validate the user queries, then enable the sync. And there's great documentation out there that walks through that in detail, step by step. In fact, I've been saying this high praise for TechNet and for the documentation teams have done over the last 2-3 years, fantastic job at improving the documentation around things like this. And then the other half of that is deploying Yammer single sign-on. A little more complex there, but as far as the user experience, it is a critical part to the administration experience. If you're able to go and do this for your end users to streamline that interface. And then just very quickly on removing users, just to make a delineation, as you remove users from the system, you have the ability to do a hard delete or a soft delete. And this is whether they are an internal user that's no longer on the system, or if they are a partner or customer through an external network. When you remove them from the system, they've been part of conversations. They've uploaded content. They've created notes and added other files and images to the site, and you want to be able to leave that in place so it's all still searchable, or you have the ability to do a hard delete and remove that entirely. It's like they were never there. So just know what the difference is between that. The recommendation is, by default, is to do the soft delete because they could be, again, in the middle of conversations. They could have created content that's valuable. They will be removed, no longer able to access the system, but their imprint is still there. So just to summarize this session, Yammer has that flat hierarchy that makes it very simple from an administration capability standpoint. It's not very complex. User, group admin, network admin, verified admin. But you do have a large variety of tools to control and create those communities. So you definitely want to, as we're going to get into in the next couple modules, get into some of the more experiential, like how you actually go and use this successfully. But just remember that everything comes down to that verified admin. If you need to know who your verified admin is, because some of the capability to go in and automate, if you want that trending data for more robust analytics, then you need to work with your verified admin, because the network admin cannot do it, cannot get access to that data. So up next, we'll be on module 6, and we're going to do that administration deep dive into the admin and the verified admin capabilities. So we're going to show you what that looks like inside the environment and walk through some of the options.